Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, we'll read verses 8 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It's Matthew 4, 8 through 10. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you in Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, we'll read this passage responsively. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And let's finish on verse 10 together. Ready? Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence here. Lord, we stand before you in need. We stand before you sinful. And Lord, would you calm our hearts? May we focus our minds. May we listen to the man of God. Preach your word to us so that we could go out and help others, reach others for you. And Lord, would you be pleased with our attention today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll ask that everybody settle themselves now, find your seat, and stay seated unless it's an emergency. We should not be talking or disturbing, but we should give our attention to the preaching of the Word of God. I call the sermon this morning, Deceiving the Very Elect. Deceiving the Very Elect. Again, I read to you from Matthew 24, verse 24, where it says, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The devil is the master deceiver. Let me warn you today that the devil will work overtime to convince you that this sermon is not for you. The less that you want to hear this sermon, the more you're the one that needs it. The less you feel like it applies to you, the more it truly applies to you. The ones who walk away from this sermon the least affected were the ones that God wanted to walk away being the most affected. The truth with it in itself and its outcome is proof of itself. You need to listen very carefully. The devil is the master deceiver. The devil is the father of lies. Don't you ever get in your head that you're too big for the devil to deceive. Let me say that again. Don't you ever get it in your head that you're too big or you're too spiritual for the devil to have deceived you. You see, this master deceiver would even attempt to deceive the very Son of God. We read it earlier. It says in Matthew 4:8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Do you understand that the devil takes Jesus on this high pinnacle and he says, Look, you worship me and I'll give you everything that you see. What was he trying to do? The devil was trying to deceive Jesus Christ. What? He would have the audacity to attempt to deceive the one who is the very truth? Well, the devil's pretty cocky. Why not? He's deceived the angels of heaven. Why not? He's deceived the best of the best. The devil actually says to himself, I think I'll take a crack at deceiving God. Now, let me tell you something, folks. If the devil would attempt to deceive God's Son, the one who can see everything, the one who has all power, the one that knows everything, pray tell me, where do you and I stand when it comes to his deception? He deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, which resulted in the fall of the whole human race. He deceived Peter into denying Jesus Christ only hours after Jesus himself had said, "Peter, he's coming after you." Do you understand? Jesus said, "Peter, in just a few hours, you are going to deny me." And Peter said, "No way. I know it's coming. There's no way the devil will convince me to turn my back on you, Jesus. You just told me he was coming." A few hours later, Peter said, "Oh no, what did I just do?" And the devil said, "Gotcha." He deceived David, the pure, into becoming impure. He deceived Samson, the strong one, into becoming the weak one. He deceived Solomon, the wise one, into becoming the unwise one. He has deceived the greatest of the great. He has deceived the strongest of the strong. He has deceived the wisest of the wise. He has deceived the most experienced of the experienced. Some will sit here today and greatly admire, respect, and agree with this sermon, and yet you are the very one that's being deceived. Are you deceived about being deceived? The great deceiver. If you'll listen to me this morning, I went through the Bible and I pulled out some scripture that is very obvious, a warning from God to us about the great deceiver. For instance, may I say, first of all, we can be deceived by being hearers, but not doers of the word. Hearers only, but not doers of the word. Listen to this passage. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now listen to me, every deacon. Listen to me, every staff member. Listen to me, every Sunday school teacher, every bus captain. Hey, every long-term Christian, shut up and pay attention. God warns us that we could be deceived by hearing the word of God, but then not doing what we hear. Just hearing the preaching is not enough to make you a good Christian. You understand? God said if all you're doing is hearing the preaching, you are deceived about your standing with God. In other words, it's not enough to come in here and plunker down in a pew, listen to me preach, and not go out and do what you've been taught. Just hearing the preaching is not enough to make you a good Christian. Just because you say amen does not make you right with God. Do you never sincerely use the altar? Do you think that merely listening to a sermon is enough to qualify as obedience? You know, God enjoys your verbal or your mental agreement with his word, but he wants your obedience to his word. If you listen to the preaching and in your heart you say, "That's good. I like that. Say it again." Then you don't do anything about it. So what? You agree with the truth. That'll make you a good Christian. A good Christian is someone that not only agrees with the truth, but obeys the truth. And the devil is very good, folks, at convincing us because we heard it, we're good Christians. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Are you deceived because you're a good listener? You say, "Brother Owens, I sit here in church and I shake my head up and down. And I'm not one of those that frown at you while you're preaching. And I'm not snarling and I'm not an elbower and an eye roller. I'm not one of those that show my disgust. I'm an agreeer. I listen to everything you say. Well, la-di-da. We're not here just to listen. We're here to listen and then obey. And folks, I'm telling you, there are folks all over the country that will go to church this morning, hear a sermon, walk out, not let it affect them one iota, pat themselves on the back and say, I listened. Well, whoop-de-doo. God said you have deceived yourself. You have convinced yourself because you can sit still like a good little boy. Put your hands on your lap and look at the preacher that you're a good Christian. Sorry, Charlie. That makes you a person that can sit still well. And we'll give you a star after church today by your name. We'll put a best boy tag on your chest. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Have you convinced yourself that you're a good Christian just because you came to church? Well, you're obedient to the command to come to church, but there's far more to this than what you think. Judas sat at the feet of Jesus Christ himself and was still a disloyal, two-faced backstabber. I mean, he was right up front. He was under the spout where the blessing came out. He was there while Jesus preached. Do you listen with your ears, but not with your heart? Do you listen with your ears, but not with your will? So you've been deceived. Listen, to everybody under the sound of my voice, if you've sat in this church for long, we are all spiritually trained far beyond our obedience. We're going to have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night because I think God teaches that we ought to. But I'm going to tell you all something. If we didn't have church for 6 months around here, we got enough on our plate that we ought to be living. We don't need somebody to tell us something else. It's not an issue of not enough truth. It's an issue of not enough obedience. It's sad. It's sad. Because it doesn't matter how much truth you're given. The key is not how much you're given. It's how much you live. Deceived. Deceived. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. You've convinced yourself because you mentally agree. You've convinced yourself because you sat up and listened that makes you right with God. Deceived. Secondly, we can deceive ourselves and we can be deceived by thinking we have no sin. We have no sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now that could be applied to salvation. Let me explain. Somebody asks you if you died today, if you go to heaven, and you say, well, I think I'd go to heaven. And we ask you if you were a sinner and you said, no, I don't think I'm a sinner. You've deceived yourself. You are a sinner. You need a savior. But may I say this, not only do I understand and not only do I believe that everybody's a sinner and needs a savior, after you get saved, everybody's still a sinner. We deceive ourselves. You know, folks, you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. Only two kinds of people in this world, saved sinners and lost sinners. Saved sinners and unsaved sinners. Let me ask you a question today. Are you satisfied with your Christianity because you think you've got it where it needs to be? How long has it been since you were under heavy, life-changing conviction? You say, I don't need to be. You don't? How have you deceived yourself to the point that you don't think there's something big that needs changed about you? Every Christian has room to grow, and a lot of it. Every Christian has, and folks, you need to understand there are two kinds of sins. There is a sin where we commit a sin, and there is the sin where we omit things we're supposed to be doing. And many say, well, you know, I'm not out committing this sin or out committing that sin. How about all the ones that you're omitting, the obediences? Some of you are very, very critical. Because you say, look at that one over there committing that sin, and look at that one over there committing that sin. How about the sins you have omitted in your obedience to purity? We think we're cleaned up because you're not out running with the whores and getting drunk and high. You ought to be far beyond that, my friend. There are a bunch of you. You ought to be so far beyond that, it's pathetic. But you're still patting your back on the fact that you're not like them scumballs, aren't you? Deceived by thinking you have no sin. Folks, just so it's made real clear to you, there's no such thing as a state of sinless perfection. Doesn't exist. I was in a red hot independent fundamental Baptist Bible college, and I remember one day they let a student preach, and that student got up and made this statement. He said, it's been weeks since I have sinned against God. He got expelled. He said, what for? Lying in the pulpit. You come to Old Paths Baptist College, get up and try to tell us that you're not a sinner anymore, we'll expel your tail too. You and I will one day go to heaven and we'll awake in His likeness, and then and only then will we be separated from the potential of sin. You're still a sinner. A bad one. Hey, let me ask you to do yourself a favor. Stop right now and force yourself to answer this question. What sin is in your life right now? Everybody, pay attention. Those of you that get your best rest in church, wake up just long enough to answer this question. What sin is in your life right now? Answer the question in your mind. What sin? So I can't think of any. You're a fool. Now you know what? That's what you're supposed to do at church. When the preacher's preaching, you're supposed to say, this is for me. And I've got sin in my life. That's why we need this week after week after week after week. We, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Folks, we're all still sinners. Deceived. He is the master deceiver. He can deceive us by thinking just because we heard it, it bettered us. He can deceive us by virtually convincing us there's nothing about us that needs to change. We're in a constant need of change. Yes, sir. Thirdly, may I say, we can be deceived by thinking that we're something when we're nothing. Deceived by thinking we're something when we're nothing. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 3 says this, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. Have you deceived yourself into believing that you are smarter than what you really are? Have you deceived yourself into believing that you're more important than what you really are? How proud are your thoughts of your necessity? How proud are your words? How proud are your actions? Are you deceived in believing this problem is everybody else? This problem has got to be somebody other than me. What would be wrong with you being the problem? Does that not have potential? Or are you deceived about yourself? Thinking yourself to be something when you're nothing? Are you so proud that you don't need to be faithful to church just like the rest of us weak Christians? You know, I know some people that think they can miss church all the time and they're strong enough. I've been at this long enough. If I can get down there, I will. I've watched people like you fall on your face so fast and so hard, it's pathetic. You say, well, I've already heard it all. It's not a matter of hearing it. It's a matter of obeying it. Amen. God says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I already know that. Well, that makes you in double disobedience. If you already know it, you already heard it, but you're not doing it. Now you're in trouble. Hey, are you so proud that you don't think you need preaching like everybody else? Hey, does this church have to have you? Are you convicted by your absence to church? Or are you in a comfortable state of self-justification? Hey, does this choir have to have you? Does the church staff have to have you? Does a ministry have to have you? Folks, I would like to serve notice to every human being in this building. God does not need any of us. We need God. You say, it is my right. It is your right to burn in hell. If it were not for the mercy and the grace of a loving God, we'd all be there now. God wants us to humble down. You say, how far? Until the point we realize we are nothing. He said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You say, I'm nothing compared to who? Jesus. It's unwise for us to go around comparing ourselves among ourselves. You say, preacher, I'm just as smart as you. Don't compare yourself to me. Everybody's smarter than me and everybody's stronger than me. That's okay. That doesn't bother me at all. And I'm not in a competition for strength around the church. Well, you don't scare me. You're not going to bully me. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to bully anybody. I'm just a weak old Christian that needs God. I'm a nothing. He is everything. You need to get your eyes off of everybody else and get your eyes back on Jesus Christ. Amen. You have deceived yourself. How dare your pride raise its ugly, arrogant head? Deceived. Deceived. Are you humble enough to say, I'm nothing? I am nothing, and He is everything. Deceived. Deceived by being a hearer of the word, but not a doer. Deceived. Deceived by thinking you have no sin, where you really can't find much. Deceived by thinking you're something when you're nothing. I see in the scripture that people can be deceived by their worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Your worldly education is not more powerful than the Bible. Now, I'm for education, but let me warn you of something. When you get to thinking you're smarter than the Bible, you're a fool. Your worldly wisdom is not more influential than God's Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've taken classes on influence and leadership. I've read the best books. Here's the best book on influence and leadership right there. And until you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you better be careful how you use your leadership. Do you mentally set in your self-made ivory tower of criticism and look down on all of us dumb old Bible commoners? Are you deceived into believing that because you're seen as one of clout in the world, that the church owes you more respect? Your worldly accomplishments won't give you rank in God's work, just so you know. You say, I built a great business. I'm glad you have. And I know it takes character and tenacity and congratulations. But just because you build a great business does not make you anything to God. Let me tell you, everything I've accomplished, until you've accomplished something that glorifies God, you've not accomplished much. Are you successful in business so you know how to run the church better than the pastor? Are you too smart to believe every word of the Bible? Are you too smart to believe the stories of the Bible? So you want me to believe that story about Jonah being swallowed by a whale? You say, that's foolishness. I'll tell you something. You'll find out how foolish it is. It is a picture also of the fact that Jesus Christ went and spent 3 days in the center of the earth and suffered someone's hell for them. You better watch that you're not so smart that you're deceiving yourself. Are you too smart to follow an old-fashioned Bible-believing pastor? I hate to tell you. It is my responsibility to lead the church. My responsibility. Are you too smart to let the pastor lead the church? Let me say, deceived by being a hearer but not a doer. Deceived by thinking you have no sin. Deceived by thinking you're something when you're nothing. Deceived by your worldly wisdom. Deceived by a blind belief that you won't reap what you have sown. Let me read the scripture. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Here God tells you again, watch out. The great deceiver is real good at something. He'll convince you that you won't reap what you have sown. Folks, how dumb can we be? I mean, let's all think about it. Anybody that's been in church any length of time at all heard Galatians 6:7, right? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we'll go right out and do something and pay no attention to the fact that we are going to reap what we have sown. Pay none. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. Are you not concerned about the outcome of your sin? You think you can play with sin and get away with it? You think you can control yourself and control your lust so it does not overtake you? Folks, the Bible clearly says, if you sow, you will reap. But the devil's a master at deceiving us into believing we will not reap what we have sown. He's very good at it. If you hate, there's a good chance you're going to be hated. If you won't forgive, get ready. Your day's coming. You won't be forgiven. When you cheat, your day's coming. You will be cheated. When you gossip, your day's coming. Someone will gossip about you. And oh, will you be offended? Oh, will you be mad? I can't believe anybody would talk like that. I can't believe anybody would hurt me like that. I don't believe anybody would stab me in the back like that. Why, you long-tongued Jezebel, if you would have shut your mouth a long time ago, you would not be reaping what you have sown. If you steal, things will be stolen from you. If you lie, you will be lied about. If you deceive, you will be deceived. If you quit, somebody's going to quit on you. If you can't be satisfied, then you will find others around you impossible to satisfy. If you're disloyal, you will suffer disloyalties in life. If you are unfaithful, you will receive unfaithfulness. Now, folks, I think we all ought to live the way we would like to receive. Because be not deceived. And God comes along and says, I just got to tell you, you don't let him deceive you. Because he's going to convince you that you can sow, but you don't have to reap. Now, folks, that's not how it works. Have you been spiritually deceived into believing that your negative payday will never come? The devil blinds our today so we don't see tomorrow's harvest. He's a deceiver. He's the master deceiver. Bible says that he would even attempt to deceive the very elect. Ere the elect be the saved Christian or... We know the devil tried to deceive Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, look, if he's got the guts to try to deceive God himself, don't you think he knows what to do to deceive me and deceive you? Deceived. Hearer of the word, but not a doer. Deceived. No major sin that you have to deal with. Deceived. Thinking you're something when you're nothing. Deceived. By your worldly wisdom, deceived by a blind belief that you're the one that will not have to reap what you have sown. You say, but Brother Owens, I've sown and I've not reaped it yet. I'm glad you said yet. Because God doesn't always pay on Friday, but he always pays. Yes, sir. Deceived. Deceived because, and in the fact that your tongue is out of control. Your tongue is out of control. James chapter 1, verse number 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We read it again. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Folks, if you can't get your tongue under control, your religion is vain. Your negative, the way that you handle your tongue has something to do with the validation of your Christianity. Isn't it a funny thing? Someone can be a good Christian for 6 months in a row, can throw a fit, lose their temper, cuss and gossip one time. Everybody says, whoa, had it with him. You say, I don't think that's fair. I know, but God predicts that if you can't control your tongue, you invalidate so much of your Christianity. But deceiveth his own heart. His religion is vain. I want to recommend to everybody here that you handle yourself properly in conversation. Control your tongue. Control your phone. I believe probably the biggest hindrance in red hot fundamental Baptist churches right now, the thing that hurts a church like ours most, our church or any church like it in the country, are people that are misusing the text devices on their phones, the people that are hooked up to the Facebooks and the social networking, and suddenly they think that they can talk and say all sorts of things, and it's no longer gossip, it's no longer bad. Your religion's vain. There are some of you that used to be good Christians, but because you can't control your tongue, there are all sorts of people in this church that no longer believe in you. Your religion's vain. Your negative comments cloaked in your concern are very clear to God, because God knows the sincerity of the heart. Let me ask you a question. I only ask this question because I think it's very important. It is not because I'm about to refer to myself, but I am about to refer to a concept and a truth in the Bible that is very important. How's your relationship with your pastor? How's your relationship with your pastor in the eyes of your gossiping buddies? What do they think you think of your pastor? I've never been able to figure out how to be right with God if I were not right with my pastor. Not the front that you put up with your pastor. I've been in public service for a long time. I know that not everything that comes out of somebody's mouth is sincere and from the heart. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Every person that's been in church any time at all knows that they have to be careful with their relationship with the man of God, because God will not bless you if you handle yourself wrongly with that relationship. Every one of us know that. Isn't it amazing how the devil can deceive us into getting mixed up and messing with that relationship? Smart, isn't he? We would all say to our children, oh, you should never touch the man of God. Touch not mine anointed. You taught your kids that. Well, let's print everything that's on your Facebook page. Let's print it all. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I make myself very clear. You could check any emails I've sent to anybody on the face of the earth, and I've never criticized anybody in this room. Anybody. I don't have a Facebook page, so I can't do it. You can check all my texts. You'll not find criticism of anybody. Zero. None. Because I love my people. I'm loyal to them. You could pull all the letters that I have written, and you can pull every letter and every memo that I have written to anybody on the face of this earth, and you'll not find one attack in one letter. Not one. Why? I don't want my religion to be vain. I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the devil can come along and deceive us, and suddenly we are making exceptions with our tongue and our criticism of one another. And before long, we have a mess. The tongue hurts us far more than what we know, and our ears hurt us. Hey, if you're not careful, you become known as a church gossip or critic. I wouldn't want to live my life that way. The deception. Ooh, the deception. If he would try to trick Jesus himself, think of how good he is at tricking you and I. We can be deceived about the danger of our associations, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's that word deceived again. Deceived about the danger of our associations. You think you can run with the dogs and not end up with their fleas. You think you can play with pigs and not get a curl in your tail. You think you can have a skunk as a friend and not smell bad. You can read the liberals but not become a liberal by reading their materials. You are being corrupted by your own self-confidence. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from the appearance of evil. Notice it does not say abstain from evil. It says abstain from the appearance. You say, I'm with them, but I'm not evil like them. You appear to be. You appear to be. So, well, what can I do about appearance? Change the appearance. You don't have to be a theologian to figure out the Bible. Some here need to change some long-term friendships. Be friendly. But did you know every once in a while you have to change who your best friend is if they get backslidden? Be friendly, love them, and if they get right with God, amen. But you better be careful. Some of you sell out way too easy. Ask yourself this question. Is your best friend filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Be a good qualifying factor. Bad friendships will hurt you just like it hurt anybody else. And don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You stay with me. I'm not talking fast, but I'm sure we're talking deep. I want to say this. Deceived about your salvation. Deceived. If I were to ask this question today to this massive crowd, probably 1,200 plus people at this church today, if I were to ask this question, are you a Christian? Most people say, oh, yes. But may I ask you, has there been a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone to be your Savior? Understanding that everyone is a sinner and that there is a penalty for that sin and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And that you must humbly realize that you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you of the sin of rejecting His salvation and then ask Him to come into your heart and save you. There's a little difference in just, you say, well, this is a Christian nation. I'm a Christian. I was born in America. Well, if you were born in a garage, that doesn't make you a car, bud. I was born in a hospital, but I'm not a stethoscope. See, either you get forgiven through salvation or you'll die and go to hell and you'll pay for your sin. Listen to these verses and listen to them very carefully. Let the scripture do its work. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, and are cast into everlasting fire. Folks, if you're a guest here today, you're in an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church. The Bible very clearly teaches something. This is a Baptist church. It says Baptist on the sign, but let me make something very clear to you. Right back here is a baptistry. You say, I'm going to heaven because I was baptized. I was sprinkled. I was sprayed. They spit on me. It was holy water. I'm going to heaven. Let me explain to you. There's no amount of water in this world that can save you. This is a Baptist church, and we baptize people almost every Sunday of the year. But I'll tell you something, that baptistry won't save you. If you're depending on baptism to get you to heaven, you're going to die and go straight to hell someday. Deceived. You say, but somebody told me. It doesn't matter what somebody told you. It matters what the Bible says. You say, I'm a member of a church, so I'm going to go to heaven. Church membership has never taken anybody to heaven. You cannot show me that in the Bible anywhere. It doesn't exist in God's book. Say, I'm a member of many churches. Well, good for you. You'll be the best church person in hell. But you have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I tithe. I give money. I give lots of it. Brother Owens, I'm going to give a bunch of money to your church. I'm going to go to heaven because I give money. You go ahead and give your money, but you're going to die and go to hell. Give it before you die. But your money can't buy you a ticket to heaven. It was paid for by another. And that was Jesus Christ. You say, I do a lot of good works. Good. I'm glad you do good works. I'm for good works. I'm for all this. Hey, I'm for baptism. I'm for church membership. I'm for tithing. I'm for good works. But you can mow the church grass all you want. And you can help little old ladies across the street. And you can take cookies to the shut-in all you want. Nobody has ever made it to heaven because they worked themselves there. It is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, but the church I went to told me if I'd work hard down here and get my money, I'd go to heaven. I'm very sorry. Around here, you don't have to work hard. You don't have to get your money, and you don't have to join our church, and you don't have to get baptized. I'd be lying to you. You got to get born again. If I never see you again and you never come back to this church, there's one thing we'd like to accomplish. I'd like to make sure that your soul does not go straight to hell. You better get born again. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get your membership. I'm not trying to stir the baptismal water. I'm trying to tell you the devil would like to deceive you right into hell by giving you a whole bunch of secondary obediences when the primary thing is get saved. You say, it was predicted that I would die. And I cried out to God and said, God, spare my life. And that was the day God saved me, Brother Owens. Let me explain something to you. God may have spared your physical life, but you have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for you to have been born again. You say, well, I've just always been saved. Too long. You're not just always been saved. Best thing is for you to be able to look back there and say, this is the day that I got born again. See, I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible teaches that. But you do need to be saved. You say, well, my religion, I'll tell you something. Religion is vain. Jesus Christ is the answer. Brother Chris and I were out soul winning last Thursday night. We walked into a room and I said to the man in the room, I said, sir, you go to church much in your lifetime? He said, well, I used to be Catholic. He said, I got excommunicated, which means they damned him to hell. He said, I got excommunicated. We said, well, we can help you with that. And I said, I'm a pastor. I can help you with that. He said, you can help with that? I said, sure. I said, Brother Aaron, tell him what we do about this. Ha! Guy got saved. We got him unexcommunicated. Wasn't baptism, it wasn't saying a Hail Mary or a Rosemary or a Hare Kerry or whatever. It is trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. All the religions of the world, let them do what they want. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the old time way. I believe in this black book. We can get pretty deceived though. I wonder how many here will not respond and make a change in your life because you heard this sermon and somehow the devil got you off track right in the middle of it. Yeah, you haven't got a bit of it. So a certain point came along and yep, you shut her off. He deceived you right off track. Hey, deceived. If the devil has the gumption, guts, and gall to try to deceive Jesus Christ, don't you think he's all over us? About what are you deceived today? About what? I've watched the devil deceive people away. And he certainly deceives many into hell. Question for you today. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? 100% sure. See, I don't think anybody can be that sure. The Bible teaches very clearly that we can know that we're saved. Very clearly. But it is not on the basis of what you put into it. It's on the basis of what you receive out of it, which is a free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to the Savior. The question is, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say, I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I joined the church and I'm glad of all of that. But I got to tell you, you got to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be born again. You've got to get born again. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I don't want to be deceived. I've had a misunderstanding about this. I did not understand that it was all key of being saved and being born again. That's what I want. I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I'm not going to let him deceive me. I'm not going to be deceived into hell trying to get to heaven the wrong way. I want to do it Jesus's way. And God has spoken to my heart today. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to get it taken care of. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? God bless you. I see that hand and that hand. Just say, I need to be born again. I see that hand and another and another and another and another and another and another. You say, that's me. I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I have a desire to be good, but I realize I've got to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm not, but I need to be. I see another hand. You say, that's me. I need to be born again. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand in the balcony. You say, God, that I want to be saved. I want to be born again. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I need it. Oh, I need to be saved. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again. But I could see how the devil could get into this thing, and there are areas where maybe I've been deceived some. I didn't see something clearly. And God has spoken to my heart today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I've been deceived. I've not seen some things clearly. You put your hands down, if you will. If you need the altar in a minute, Christian, you come. Those of you that raised your hand and said, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I want to recommend to you that in a second, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, everybody's going to stand. In a moment, the choir is going to sing. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will be joined by other men, and they're going to stand down front on the lower level at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, I want you to leave your seat. You raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, and you didn't, in need of salvation. When we start this thing called the altar call, you leave your seat. You walk down the aisle. You walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. We have trained, capable soul winners, people that can show you in a matter of a few minutes how you can go to heaven someday when you die. It won't take long. It's simple and it's painless. It costs Jesus everything. It'll only cost you investing your faith in his plan. If you're not saved, I want you to come. Is there somebody else yet that would say, preacher, I didn't raise my hand earlier about salvation, but I should have. And God's spoken to my heart. I need to be saved and I realize it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand now? God bless you. Another hand. God bless you. Another hand and another. God bless you. In a moment, you come when the altar call begins. Holy Spirit of God, take over, please. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet.